We'll move on. I don't know that we need to recap per se, do we? Do we still want a public workshop recap at this point?
I think we should, just particularly in light of the question we got from the public.
Okay, I'm sorry. I was thinking public comment recap, public workshop, sure.
And we have to be done by 2 today.
Okay.
So just so we know.
All right, well.
There's something else coming in afterwards.
There goes your lunch break.
Was that the alcohol note on the?
Coming at 1 for some reason.
That's at 1, don't worry.
No comment, Mr. Rob. I'm going to leave that alone.
On a Monday, what a way to kickstart a week, man.
Try the other one. There's, on the other side, there's another. Yep. There's a spare mic on the other side. Yep, there we go. There it is. And you can switch it out if you want to use that. I think so.
Okay, good morning, everyone. Okay, so next on the agenda is the public workshop recap. Today's recap is mostly going to talk about some of the forms we received, as well as some of the input that was received. However, like Janelle said, we are still receiving input, and we will be revisiting this, especially when we dig back into future land use, because a lot of the workshops, the focus of it was on the future land use plan and getting some input from the public. Okay. So I know a lot of the commissioners were at many of these meetings, but we had, you can see the number of attendees per meeting. We were growing in attendees. Milford, we didn't have quite as many, but then we had quite a few in Lewis. So all said and done, we had pretty good attendance at these workshops across the 5 dates. So at all the workshops, we had a Q&A session following the PowerPoint presentation. And these are some of the top things that we heard through the Q&A. A lot of the focus was on transportation, a lot of concern from folks about the transportation network, existing traffic, future planned transportation. A lot of discussion from members of the public on impacts of new growth and how that ties in, of course, with transportation and the existing infrastructure. It came up a lot, flooding and stormwater, especially on the coast. A lot of concern from residents on that, as well as the topic of sea level rise and climate change. And as we discussed during the Q&A, we'll be digging into that and determining how to address that in the conservation element, which I think we'll be talking about this month in June at one of these workshops. There was some concern from residents at the workshops about economic development and jobs. They want to see strategies to promote economic development in the county, retaining jobs, getting new jobs in the county, concern about housing affordability, and a lot of questions about progress on the 2008 comp plan actions, which ones were carried out, what's the strategy moving forward with things that may not have been done since the last comp plan. And then a lot of questions about how the 28 comp plan will be implemented. So those are the main topics that we heard across the 5 workshops through the month when we did these workshops, through the Q&A. We also had an opportunity for comment forms at the workshops. People could submit written comments on the website or through paper comment forms. And we also had a land use survey, which all of you saw. So these are the tallies on the surveys and the comment forms that we received at the meetings. You know, we did our best to try to get folks to fill these out, and we did get some, but we would have liked to have seen more, obviously, filled out. So what we'll present today is what we did receive in terms of forms. And like Janelle said, we are still receiving a few coming in through her office. Okay, so I'm just going to break down the survey results from the land use survey, and we can come back to this whenever we have the next conversation on future land use, but this is just to show you what people are thinking. So the first question on the survey was, where do you think future residential development should occur between 2018 and 2045? There was a pretty even split, and these are out of the people who filled out the survey, there's a pretty even split on whether development should be in the towns, in those existing growth centers, along roadway corridors, or in the rural areas, surprisingly. So that was the split on what people had to say about future residential development.
How many surveys were there, Alexis?
It was 30, 50, a little over 50.
And what's the difference between on the pie chart between towns and growth centers and towns and growth centers and roadway corridors? It seems like that would
people could select more than one thing. So if they selected, so if you had like three people that picked towns and growth centers and roadway corridors, I'd group them together. Versus people who just picked roadway corridors or people who just picked the towns and growth centers.
It just seems like that number, then there's going to be, well, I guess then there's roadway corridors there are 20. It seems like that you're going to capture the same,
So 20. So in other words, that's percentage of 50.
Out of the people that fill out the
survey. Okay, so 20% equals 10 in that case.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, but like, so roadway corridors is 20%, and then towns and growth centers.
And roadway corridors, so then it was captured again there, too.
Yeah.
But it's separate than in the 20%.
So some people got to vote twice. Okay.
Yeah, that's right, because it's 50, and you could put down three or four places. It's not.
That's all right. We vote on the curve here. We're good.
Yeah, there was no limit as to how many choices. Yeah. So
and people could also pick other and write their own descriptions in on where they think it should grow. If one of the multiple choice answers didn't quite fit what they had in mind. And we did have a lot of people write in their own thoughts, too.
I guess I'd want to know what the total percent, or even what the total numbers or percentage or whatever of towns and growth centers and roadway corridors.
I could break it down that way, too. So just out of the multiple choice categories, who picked?
Because it looks like when you read that, it's, what, it's 54%, but it's probably really lower than that.
Yeah.
If you come on it. Okay.
Yeah, we can break it down that way as well.
Is that 50?
50 surveys. So.
Is that 50 surveys? In other words, that's like 50 comments, maybe not necessarily 50 people.
50 people.
50 different people.
50 commented. Different people okay. filled out a survey. And you could choose more than one option on the multiple choice.
Or a couple could have done it together. I think
true.
It's quite possible. But it's most likely 50 different people filled the form out.
But they could have checked three or four blocks. Or
correct.
Oh, it was one form.
Yeah.
It was one form. Mm-hmm. They could have just picked multiple options.
Yeah, because a lot of people didn't necessarily think, growth should just be in the towns and growth centers. That's why you can see there's some that think, okay, the towns and growth centers and along the roadways. So, but we can break it out, Vince, like you're saying, in just the categories.
I'd be interested to see if you broke that same chart out by the Lewis meeting versus...
Yeah, that's the thing, too. It's a little inflated because... Well, actually, I mean, we had... Almost 20 surveys in Georgetown.
No matter how you slice it, it's 50 people. Not 50,000.
No, I know. Yeah. 50 people. Right. Yeah. I think it still would be interesting.
If she'd have printed them and let us read them, in this much time we could have read all 50 of them.
Yeah.
They're coming.
We do have them all. They're all scanned. Janelle has all of them. And there's still more coming in, like she said.
They'll be available.
And they're actually going to go on the website.
Yeah, there's no personal information. We didn't ask for emails or phones on those.
Can I ask you a question just on that? So, because you guys have done comp plans all over the place. Mm-hmm. That was one of the reasons we hired you. To Keller's point, it's 50 people out of, what was the population, 147,000?
It's not a very big...
How does that compare to other comp plans you've worked on? Is that for a comp plan, is that a large number? Is it a small number? Is it... disappointing? Is it encouraging?
All surveys, it's tough to get people to fill them out unless you really promote or incentivize it somehow. Give away some gift card or something,
It's not really too bad a percentage. I mean, when you consider you had only 179 people to pull
from.
Who
actually attended.
So 50 people to fill out the survey is a pretty good percentage of the total people that attended.
Right.
But, I think at some point we're going to have to discuss, whether, we're just not drawing the volumes of people that support the amount of effort and money it takes to do the workshops. And we're going to have to think about that sometime as we move forward.
So, yeah, and I don't know. And back to your point about a curve, too. It seems like, take that data into account, but you've got to curve it a little bit based on it being such a small percentage.
Well, that's the thing. Yeah. And, you have to say, well, how valuable is such a small input number to the bigger discussion?
Yeah.
And I don't know. I mean, there's no answer to that.
No, right.
There's no right or wrong answer.
You certainly can't ignore it, obviously.
No, I don't think you, certainly you don't ignore it. But, you know, I'm just looking ahead about, you know, the effort that McCormick and Taylor and our staff had to put into each workshop in five locations and all. And only have 179 people out of 220,000 citizens show up is a little depressing. And maybe, and actually,
more outreach than we've
well,
ever done.
And I think that's part of it too. And I think it's just not that. It's that, you know, we have an open mic, you know, on each of our Thursday meetings. We have these meetings that are open before and after at the end. So the public is giving a lot more opportunity too. I mean, had we not done this, we probably would have had a lot larger number show up. So we just have to think about where we, how much effort we need to go forward in that.
Yeah, actually, I mean, the turnout was good for a public meeting compared, that's you know, from our history of doing comp plans. Would you agree?
Yeah, I think it was pretty typical.
Yeah.
It's, you know, planning is a little abstract for most citizens, and so they don't know how to engage necessarily, or and those number of surveys are also pretty typical for a county level comprehensive.
Yeah, that's what I was curious.
Yeah, we've had more people turn out for a public hearing than that.
And that's the problem.
I wonder what the numbers are the day after you finalize the comp plan of the people.
I think our public hearings will be more better attended because that is where you create the record. So it's understandable.
Sorry, just thanks.
Yeah, no, this is just showing, you know, what we heard from the people who did attend. Some people, like I said, wrote in their own comments. These are some of the things we heard about the residential development. The market is demanding the coast, which is, you know, what the stats are showing. A lot of people say the coast is overdeveloped. I think everybody knows that and has heard that a gazillion times. Some people said, you know, consider growth towards some of the inland areas to help bring some life back into those communities like Ellendale and Greenwood. And I think we heard from maybe one or two people about looking at, you know, some of those corridors like 113 and 13 to consider having some more residential growth there. Okay, so the next question had to do with commercial development. And once again, Vince, I broke this down based on how they selected. But people who just selected roadway corridors, that was 21% of the people who filled out the survey. And then the next was the existing commercial developed areas with 15%. So these are some of the comments having to do with commercial development. Planned communities and new developments should include areas for commercial activities. And there were a lot of people that did select mixed use as an option for commercial development on the survey. Once again, that Route 113 corridor came up quite a few times. People are looking at that, looking to revitalize that, more jobs and retail there. Linking commercial with the telecommunications, which we talked about in our discussion here with utilities. A lot of people concerned about development on Route 1, commercial development there. And then a couple, these are just some kind of one-time things we heard. Someone mentioned adding by-right zoning for commercial on major highways. Another person mentioned considering commercial building heights of 6 stories and 70 feet. And then someone brought up, you know, having smaller businesses downtown and the larger shopping centers relegated to the major roadway corridors. So then we asked regarding the types of density. So with medium and higher density, where did people think that was best suited in Sussex County? And most people thought along the growth in the growth centers and in the town centers as well. But we had a lot of people that picked other, and there were a lot of write-in answers there. And sometimes when people picked other, they didn't necessarily answer the question quite the way we asked it. So they would say things like they want to see higher densities than the medium to high density that we had put on the survey. They want to see higher densities in areas coupled with preservation of agricultural land. They want to make sure that the higher density or medium density development is coupled with existing infrastructure so that you don't have new costs for new infrastructure. Some comments about adding density to areas east of 30. And just overall comments from people about, you know, if you have more density, less sprawl. Okay, the next part of that, we asked, on the other hand, you know, for lower density, where does that seem best suited in Sussex County in the future? And the majority of people said in the rural areas for the lower density. I think that makes sense.
Now, that's lower than what?
It was the lower density. We said two, I think, on the survey.
Lower two.
Yeah, two or less. People want to make sure that the lower densities are maintained in the rural areas, that it should occur in rural areas but near roadway corridors. We saw that a few times on the survey. And also connecting new lower density development with existing similar development. So making sure that your new development is kind of adjacent to or near other development instead of kind of piecemeal leapfrog out in the middle of nowhere.
Alexa, can you, how many people commented on the lower density in the rural?
Everyone filled out the survey. Those 50 people, most people answered all the questions. A few people may have skipped a question or two.
There was 39 there.
Oh, for the rural? I'm sorry. Yeah, it was about 40% for the rural. And then, like Vince was saying, on some of these other ones, the rural is mixed in. It was selected, but selected with another option, too. Does that answer your question, Keller?
I think so.
Okay. Okay, and then on the back was the last question of the survey. We showed the different scenarios, showing the trend, showing a scenario where you had more growth directed toward those town and growth areas, had a scenario where growth was directed more toward corridors, and then a scenario where growth was recognizing the fact that a lot of development is happening in the east, and it would still be happening in the east, but in a more planned fashion. And out of those alternatives, most people did not like the trend. They like the town and growth areas scenario the best, which was actually the 2008 plan policy. That was the way the land use plan in 2008 was done. It was to designate growth areas around the towns and in select growth areas and annexation areas. Okay. And then regarding the land use, there were just some comments, random comments that we received on the back for that as well. Some questions about, you know, having mixed-use centers as anchors and then building development around those that was proposed. This was brought up before about the rural areas protected through easements and ag preservation, having higher density development focused in areas already developed and in areas that can benefit from redevelopment. I think I said this before, coastal development is the market, making sure public facilities support development, and then lots of concerns about new development east of Route 1 and Route 30. So I don't think anything came up that was shocking that we haven't heard before.
I guess the question is, what do you do with it? It's kind of like Vince was saying earlier about the line that was covering, what was it, 10 years?
Yeah.
I mean, that would be, to make a comparison, that would be like this would be a line that covered, you know, one shift of a day,
right.
8 hours of a day. We're trying to project it out into, you know, 2045 projection. It's like, it's nice, but what do you do with 50 people out of 100, whatever, 1,000?
Well, let me just share with you a story I heard a long time ago that's always made a lot of sense to me. And the story is that the truth is a mosaic, and that a mosaic is made up of a whole lot of little pieces. And there's a little piece here and a little piece there and a little piece in another place, and pretty soon the picture starts to come clear. This is a little piece. It's only 50. You know, granted, it's a small sample, but it is the people that were there. It is the people who cared enough to show up. So it's important. So it's an important piece.
I don't disagree with that.
But it's one little piece, you know.
Yeah. And, I mean, if I showed up and I was one of the 50, I would like to see my numbers up there. I just would kind of like to see every time there's a percentage. I just try to put things into, you know, perspective that I can see it as a layman, and I'd just like to see that 3% equaled 1.5 people.
Yeah, it's such a small sliver of the population.
Yeah. Well, you know,
affirming.
Whoever's looking at it and analyzing it, they can say, wow, 3%, it's like, or 20%.
Yeah.
It's like, well,
it's out of people
but
who
it's
filled
also
it out.
10
people.
You're the one that's looking at it and analyzing it, and so are we. So, we got it. Yeah.
I think the thing here is it's pointing out things that we have heard over and over again. It's nothing really new came out that we haven't heard before. So that's our guidance in the future. We're going in the right path. We're recognizing what we're hearing. We're not missing anything. We haven't heard, nothing came out that was shocking, you know, so.
Well, the great concern for everyone in the public is simply this. They want to make sure that this shows up in the plan somewhere.
Yep.
And I get that. They want to see their, they want to see this reflected in the plan somewhere, or they are darn well going to want to know the reason why. So we need to be prepared on both those fronts.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, so yeah, so it's it has its place. It's a piece.
Yep.
Just, are you done, Alexis?
I might have one or two more
okay,
on this. Do you want me to keep going, Marty?
Yeah.
Okay. So, like I said, we had the paper comment forms there, too, and we did get a few of those in. So, on that form, people commented on, you know, anything more than just the land use. So, there were some questions about transportation. So, some people had interest in future east-west and north-south connector roads, which we actually heard through the Q&A as well. Lots and lots of comments about conservation, open space protection, beach protection, clean air, clean water. There were some comments about buffers and new developments, as well as buffers for wetlands and sensitive lands. Someone said something about not clustering everything. More recreation, that came up a few times, for children and adults. Some concerns through the Q&A, as well as the comment forms about chicken houses and CAFOs, workforce housing, some comments on flooding, and transit, making things accessible by buses as well as accessible for pedestrians and bicyclists. Let me see if anything else. Okay, that was it. Well, what was your question, Marty?
I didn't have a question. Oh, okay. I just want to make a suggestion to follow up on my earlier thought. I mean, the summary is a good summary, as I attended every one of the workshops. And they are redundant with what we got in the first workshop. So I don't know, Mr. Chairman, Mr. Robertson, whoever, I think, you know, we need to decide or start thinking about, do we need the next series of workshops in September or not? If we're going to get redundant information and relatively low, you know, we're well over budget as we are right now. And if we're going to get redundant information and relatively low turnout, is this something we want to do or not? If we decide to change our mind and not hold them, then we need to make sure the public knows in ample time so they can take advantage of the forms that we have.
Well, just so you know, the intent for the third round is to have comments on the draft plan. So it's not
as... We're going to have public hearings for that too, right?
Right, but the intent was to get out. There's only one public hearing. So if we had draft comments of meetings about the draft plan, then we could get those comments. You could hear those comments, figure out if you wanted to tweak anything or not, then take that to get a final draft and take that through the public hearing process.
Whatever. You know...
I will say, it seems so. We had... What was the total number at those... But the workshops that we
179
had.
179 this time, 220 or so the first time.
Yeah, you know, and we did. We got the same kind of generalized comments.
I got an idea for you.
Well, I was going to say it might be. So, first of all, I don't know that we're going to, as hard as we're going to try, I'd rather know we're going to be done with the plan before we have those, because that's, you know, otherwise we're going to be working on the plan. It's going to go on hold while we do those meetings. It almost seems to me that... We instead of having five meetings and a hearing, we maybe do two hearings, you know, or something like that.
I would think that would be more important because the public hearing is really what creates the record,
yeah.
You know, for the adoption or changes, the final changes. If we didn't have these opportunities, I'd probably have a totally different perspective on that.
Right.
But we have a lot of opportunity as we're working on each element for people to comment. For example, the historic element is posted on our website right now. We're going to have other elements posted as we go forward. So it's not like everything's being thrown at people at one time, and there's not a lot of opportunity to talk about these elements in the interim. If those opportunities didn't exist, then I would feel differently. But if maybe we'd be better off to do, as you suggest, Mr. Robertson, and think about, you know, maybe having two public hearings to allow that and maybe save ourselves a little bit of money. I know we're so far over budget that... Probably the people at county are ready to shoot the commission at this point.
They're not over budget as of this moment. We are not. And my concern is if we don't hold a third round of public meetings, maybe we shorten it up or something. But the public is aware that we've already shown that said that we were going to have three rounds. Maybe we don't do all five. Maybe we do something different. But I think it's still to keep the public informed that we're not changing something on them, that they will still have that third opportunity to speak.
Why don't we have one big one? And I know y'all are getting ready to laugh, but I'm serious as a heart attack. Free hamburgers, not dogs. And we publish it. Matter of fact, maybe some of us can raise the money for the food.
I was going to say, the food's not in the budget.
We'll raise sale. The money for the food, and we'll try to get 400 or 500 people out for it.
Will they be chicken dogs?
The hamburgers, not dogs. Kim and I know how to do it. We've done it before.
I think to Janelle's point, and I think what Marty said, because Marty, you mentioned something to it when we were talking offline. We need to take two things. We need to have the conversation if we're going to do it, so it's not surprising to anybody. But the second thing, if we're going to do it, people need to realize it's not because we want to exclude the public. It's what's the best use of resources to get as much public input as possible, you know.
Exactly, so, the point.
Yeah.
So I think maybe we can talk offline with Todd about the future. I mean, this is the fall we're talking about, so we do have time to figure this out.
And it's on the agenda for tomorrow for County Council, too, a little bit with the path forward. So,
okay.
I mean, we can certainly say that's something that came up, just to see.
Yeah, and we only have, we have three meetings this month. This is one, two more. You have, say, three in July, three in August. So you have eight more meetings after today. And pretty much our work needs to be kind of lion's share done, or we're not going to have anything to roll out to the public. That's the 1st of September. We might give it a squeeze another meeting in then. So we're going to have to hasten the progress a little bit. I would even recommend, Alexis, that we've done this on the commission on code revisions, ordinance 115 revisions, where the staff would get to Mr. Robertson draft language and stuff of different code revisions, and then he would be the lightning rod for the commission to just get the bulk of the consensus out of the way. It speeds up the process of editorial revisions of a document, and you only end up with a small percentage of where there's not consensus on the commission that we have to discuss. It's still,
I can't do it that way, just because that, when you start talking about consensus and things, that runs afoul of Freedom of Information Act. But
We can be here until June of 2022, so that's okay with me.
Yeah, I don't want to have to do a do-over on the comp plan because the AG's office found us in violation of FOIA either. I don't want to have to do it twice. it's a conversation we can have on how to keep things moving forward.
Well, we're going to have to move at a quicker pace than we are. We're not going to get done.
We're on track. There has been some hiccups, such as population numbers showing up, late in the process, and that hinges on a lot of the chapters, too. So I think we're still on track with everything else.
Well, maybe this isn't a great time, but so after we meet with University of Delaware and we try to come to a number, once we come to that number, if it is really different, that affects a lot of things, like mobility, right?
Yes, it does.
Is that right?
It does.
So then do we need to then...
Yes. Not Josh is nodding. So and they're working on transportation right now, but, they need to know what numbers.
Exactly. So what happens then? I mean, is it a matter that if there's a delta between the two, or if there's a coming together of the two discrepancy numbers, it sounds like it's that could really add a lot more pressure and focus. Because some people, I guess us being some of them, got to roll their sleeves up and really figure out what are we going to do about this new fact.
It's a major hiccup. We definitely need to hear the presentation on the 16th, because those numbers from the Delaware Population Consortium are what we've been using so far. It's what DelDOT uses in all of their work.
Right.
Everything that they do, they use those numbers. So... And it's what all the counties in the state use for their comp plans. All the municipalities use the population consortium numbers. So to throw something completely different in, we really need to have a justification why, and it has to be backed with sound science, or the state's going to question it.
And I would add...
And it's going to jeopardize getting the plan adopted next June.
Back to Marty's point, the whole delay could be significantly exasperated unless we just throw out what we heard today.
Yeah, and I'll say this, I don't know, thinking through today and to your point, Mr. Siegel was talking about a number, and I don't know, And not having heard from Mr. Ratledge, so I don't know what, you know, how that's going to go. But it seems like, to me, almost, we can talk about numbers in the plan, and maybe we can talk about both of them in the plan, honestly. I don't know if there's a reason why I can't do that, but the trends are more important to me than a number. We're not going to throw out one and pick the other. But I also, I do think this, you know, thinking how this process works, that's a significant foundation for so many parts of the plan that we also need to make sure that county council has buy-in on that. Because if we go forward based on a number that they get and they say, well, you should have used Siegel's and not Ratledge's or vice versa, you know, then we've wasted a whole bunch of time as well. I think that's something that we almost make an interim recommendation to council. We think it should be this, and they bless it, and then we go forward. Because otherwise, you know, we're theoretically spinning our wheels.
Because right now, one of the reasons you haven't seen the economic development chapter finished yet is because that is incredibly tied to population numbers. So if we're using different population numbers, we can't finalize that chapter.
Yeah, I have a draft of that chapter that was done by our sub, and now I have to go back to him potentially and say, all right, you got to redo a lot of this because there may be a new number and new information. So I have it. I just have to hold on to it till we make a decision on what to do with this new information.
Can I suggest you're grappling with a you know, a potentially game-changing issue. Why don't you wait until you hear the explanation?
That's exactly what I was going to say. We will be in a position to make a decision on this at the end of the day on June 16th. And that's probably the earliest possible time that I would be comfortable moving ahead one way or the other. And, you know, I appreciate the schedule pressure and all that, but we need to do this right. Mm-hmm. And if
I totally agree with
you know, and if we run a little bit long, then the county council hopefully will make it up on the other end. You know, the whole idea is you want to try to get this done and get it out there and dealt with before people get into campaign mode for the election next year. I mean, that's the thing, and I think that serves everybody's interest because I think you want it done that way. So we're all going to be working toward that goal. My only concern about cutting the public meetings short is that we have promised the public this group of meetings, and if we change that, we need their buy-in on that. I want to hear from what we know what the public thinks about that, because this is what we've been telling them all along. And if we're going to deviate from that, it's not that we can't, but if we are, we need to explain why we want to, and I think we need to rely on some input from the public, which we can get because we take public input at every meeting. So we certainly can put the idea. In fact, the idea is out there, in case you all haven't noticed. The idea is now on the table. If anybody has an opinion about that, we would be delighted to hear about it at the end of the day today or Thursday. We'll be back again on Thursday.
I think particularly
that's exactly why I raised the point today.
There you go.
We've got plenty of time between now and September to see whether that's an acceptable proposition. Yeah,
agreed.
Or not.
And I just want to state one thing. We are actually making a lot of progress because there are only three chapters we have not started yet.
Right.
So we've actually made a lot of progress, and we're at a lot of different parts and a lot of different processes within all of those other chapters. So there's actually a lot of work that's being done, and we are keeping on track and on schedule.
Yeah, and to second that, we have it in the presentation today at the end of our agenda. We'll talk about future workshop scheduling. And like Janelle said, the only things that we haven't talked about yet are housing, parks, recreation, and conservation. Everything else has been touched at least once. You know, future land use, we have started, you know, we have to obviously go back to that, but in transportation and all these other things, but we are making a lot of progress.
Can we see some of that work? Can some of that work?
You have one in front of you right now.
I know what some of it, but I mean some of the other work, even the draft economic development. I know the number will change that, right? But just see the framework of how it's being written and the bulk of the language around that development.
I mean, I would have to go, because I'm working with a subconsultant, I don't want to have to go back to them 10 times with 10 rounds of edits. So it's easier to streamline it, but if that's the consensus that you want to see a really rough Well, it's not, actually, it's in pretty good shape.
I don't see, I mean, they just put a big old draft on it.
I think, Alexa, I think what Marty's asking for is he just wants to see it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know.
And have it with me? I could have it right here.
And, I mean, I don't, is anyone, is, I mean, if there's a reason why we shouldn't do that, or is it?
There was just concern about making sure, you know, we're to stay on budget with the sub-consultant, is that they're not going back multiple times, you know, with your edits, and maybe holding on to your edits once we figure out the population number, mm-hmm. so if those change.
And I actually have edits for them that I have to give them, too, yeah, that I'm waiting until we get this.
But we can definitely get it to you.
I don't know that there's any harm in us seeing the draft. Send them in a non-editable PDF so we can't mess with it. All we want to do is see it. All we just want to do.
We'll get that out this week.
Is see it.
I would just say so that.
But I don't think it's for circulation. I would say that to you. I don't know you want to be emailing it all over the place.
And I caution you about the edits, because obviously if we go with the Siegel report, that was based so much on employment that was so different than everything else we've seen.
Yeah.
We know that. So if we come back and say we know there's going to be edits, and so hold your fire on that until after.
Yeah. I think it just wants to see the language in the document.
I want to get a feel for it.
We'll get it out this week.
I mean, I have a number of edits to give the subconsultant, which I've been holding on to. Okay. So do you want to see the unedited version, or do you want to have me make my edits?
It's kind of like when the waitress comes out and say, "How do you want me to bring it?" We usually just say, "Whatever's done, bring it as it's done." So as you get it updated or whatever, just shoot us another copy.
I don't know what it is.
Just bring the soup with the salad and the main course. So if you've got whatever you have today, shoot that out. And if you have something next. In the next 4 or 5 days, where you make some other edits, check that.
I think,
we'll get you out a rough draft. How is that?
I think that's what's being
we'll
suggested.
Take care of that.
If you want to take care of two or three edits that you know are obvious or something in the meantime before you send it out, we're not going to know the difference anyway. Okay, so you know, when you just know that the group would like to see a rough draft, and mm-hmm. we'd like to see it as soon as it's available.
Okay.
How's that?
As long as the understanding is you aren't going to tear it apart yet.
Nobody's going to do anything. You're going to read it, and then we're probably going to talk among ourselves about it a little bit. We may talk about it at the meeting Thursday night or something. But it won't be.
I don't think we'll have it by Thursday because I
that's
need.
That's fine.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Next week.
Just, I get where you're coming from. Mm-hmm. I'm in some of the work I do, I understand that you don't want something that isn't finished out there because it's not finished.
Right.
Because everybody will say, well, it doesn't say this and it doesn't say that. Well, no kidding. It's not done.
Yeah.
Okay. But I think we're far enough along in this process that we get that.
Okay.
And there will be.
Looking for the flavor.
It's 46. It's 46 pages long.
Where it's headed. That's all.
It's big.
Good?
I'm a slow reader.
It's 46 pages long, and I do would like Janelle to look at it first. That's what I've been doing with these drafts, is she does take a look at things first. So if you're okay just looking over it before it goes out.
Okay. Just get it out. Just, I mean, no offense.
You want it out next week, I won't be in town. So.
Take the
just
parts out that say, you know, Keller doesn't stop making
I have
anymore.
To tell you, though, I am
there's some Easter eggs in there.
I am getting the feeling that we are quite a bit different than what you're used to.
Just a little.
Okay. Well, we are what we are. And I want to say something else, too, about, and I get where you're coming from about, you know, the everybody uses these numbers all across the state. Everybody's using the same thing and all that stuff. And if we're going to deviate from that, we have to have a good reason. I understand that. But if it's wrong, it's wrong. Okay. and if we come to that conclusion that we need to be using something different, we will take the heat for that. Okay. They can call me and blame me personally if they want.
Yeah, you give me guidance. I am not a population scientist, so I don't pretend to be one on TV.
So this could end up being great for the whole state of Delaware. The fact that we engaged in this population discussion here in little old Sussex County, you know, just because we wanted the best information we could get.
If you want to make it really interesting, get two or three more population opinions.
We might be getting another one. Somebody called me.
That would make it real interesting.
Well, and it could very well be that the consortium is going to come in and make an explanation that is perfectly logical and understandable. That's what we're waiting for. You know, it isn't about, you know, we're not picking a winner necessarily. We just want something. We just want to use what we think is
more
best.
More information. Absolutely. You just want more information to make a good decision.
And I would suspect that they will come here on the 16th and readily admit to things that they don't have in their numbers because they don't have them, and they may have good reasons for that, you know. And it'll be fine. But this non-resident folks have to be considered. I mean, we can't do this without...
We talked about that. Yeah, we have a number. I mean, it's different than their number, but yeah, I have sound science behind our number.
So everybody gets that.
And it's based
on
the census vacant housing units seasonal as well.
And it isn't, you know, this isn't all about finding fault with the consortium per se. It's about finding fault with us and the way we've been doing things. And maybe we need to do things a little differently and better. That's all it is. And that's what I intend for us to do, for my little piece of it, for my little piece of the mosaic. Continue.
All right. Okay. So any other questions on the public workshops?
No.
Okay.
Well,
give me one second here.
What do you need, Alexa?
I just want to get on my jump drive to pull up the chapter. I can do it real quick here.
Wait, let me see yours.
Okay. The red line version.
I just wanted to make sure. I was like, did I get something?
Okay. Mm-hmm. What you asked for. So. I just didn't get a chance to get it out this weekend.
Oh, yeah, well, that's all right.
So.
Okay.
Yeah, here's economic development. It's 46 pages long, so it's
cool.
Here. We have it. I'm telling you, we are making progress. It's just like Bob was saying, ideally we would like to give you a more complete version once we have all the questions answered with the population, but okay. All right.
Done with it.
Okay. You leaving, Keller?
Sorry, Scott. He has a.
That was fun.
Recently, we've had some zoning applications that have been centered around some newer types of housing, and I'm wondering if this is the place. Is this a place where we would address? You know, we had what was that
thing?
Agri-hoods.
Oh,
you ever heard of an agri-hood?
Oh, okay.
And then the tiny house concept.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And what we're finding out is that we don't have anything in our code to address this. And if this is going to become a thing, then we probably at least want to have some language in there that the county council needs to consider creating an ordinance to accommodate